blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 44, stanzas 1 through 4. Jehovah, hear thee in the day when trouble he doth send, and let our covenant-keeping God from every ill defend. 1 through 4 of Psalter 44. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 16, but first, and we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And thou shalt have no other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark chapter 16. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, in the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. They said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre. And for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mrs. DePuter, who has to have eye surgery this coming Thursday. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, who can pray unto thee aright, yet thou commandest it of us to lay before thee all our needs, and not only to lay before thee our needs, but that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. And thou knowest how it is in the heart of each and every one of us. We are born and conceived in sin, and it is never different until thou makest it different. And we have read in thy holy word how that thou didst send out thy servants unto the length and the breadth of this world, that they may preach thy word everywhere, that men may be brought in unto thy kingdom. And so it takes place even to this moment. Thy word is to go forth. Thou knowest that we are not able of ourselves to bring it forth, and we are not able to bring it into the heart of men, not of ourselves or of others. But when thou didst send, thou wilt also care, and thou wilt provide. For thou must not only send forth into thy vineyard, but thou must also give those qualifications that are necessary. And thou must give the blessing in the midst of the congregation. Therefore, there is nothing from our side in this morning which can be for any one of us a profit. And not as he who must speak, and not as we who may listen, but all our help and all our expectation that is alone from Thee. And therefore we begin with a supplication before Thy throne in this morning, that Thou would come with Thy Spirit and work with might and power amongst us and our dear children, that Thou may take us as we are traveling on that broad road to destruction, and that Thou may speak in this morning that word that is so almighty and all-powerful, that is able to stop a man in his self-will going on to his everlasting destruction, in whom Satan himself has deceit in his heart, and who is so very powerful to convince the will of man and to keep him within the bonds of iniquity. But Thy voice that is powerful, Thy voice that is so full of majesty, and Thou art more powerful than that prince of darkness. And we have considered in the weeks that have gone by how that Thou hast taken away his power, how that Thou hast come forth from that grave, and that Thou hast shown that Thou hadst the victory over sin and death and hell. O Lord, then it is possible for us and for our children. And therefore, we may meet Sabbath by Sabbath day. And therefore, we may still bring Thy word. And therefore, there is still hope and expectation. When from the side of man it is so hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Because our will that is so inclined to everything that is evil. And there is no convincing of a man, but Thy Spirit that is almighty. Oh, that Thou may come then, as Thou sittest upon Thy throne, at Thy place at the right hand of Thy Father. Could it please Thee to speak the word in this morning? Oh, to send forth Thy Holy Spirit, that He may go from place to place in the midst of this world, that He may work also amongst us in our congregations, in our denomination, in the midst of us also in this day and in this morning, in the midst of our families, fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers, all the children and each and every one of us, young and old, all traveling with a soul that is going to a great and a never-ending eternity, and that it will be for us either an eternal well, where we shall bow and cast the thrones before Thy feet all eternity long, or that we shall descend into that darkness where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth to all eternity. Lord, what an eternity does await us, and what a decision even in that last day that is to be made by that judge, each one to be judged according to all that he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And then the fruits of our life do show whether we are engrafted into that Son of God. Oh, look on us then. Oh, come from Thy side, Lord. Stretch forth Thy mighty arm. Speak but one word, and we shall be healed with our children. And that the power of Thy Spirit may be felt, may be experienced. That sin may begin to be mourned, and that it would be turned from in our life. That we may flee all the vanity and the carnality of this world. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But we are carnal. Oh, do make us then spiritual, and give to us that new life, that new man that shall exist in that heart with that old man all the days of our life. to fight against him, to overcome him. Though there are so many questions in the heart of thy children, when that a warfare must be fought, and when the discouragements are so very many, for it seems that the enemy has the upper hand so often, and that all thy work does lay so under the ashes, and that they have to ask themselves whether it was ever true in their life. Oh, that thou may look upon them also in this morning, that thou may feed thy own true people, that thou may teach and lead them into all thy truth, which is a comforting truth for those who have nothing from their own side to bring, which is such an encouraging truth. To those who have no eyes to see and no ears to hear, and who have no hearts to understand, not one ever turned away from thee. But thou didst say, bring even the little children unto me, and forbid them not. Oh, look then upon the lame ones that have no feet to go, and who have no hands to take it of themselves in this morning hour, that may hear of thy death and of thy resurrection, and who must sit on the side, and who must say that it is all for someone else, but my own soul that has to miss it. Oh, that thou may look on them in this morning, that thou may feed them from above, that thou may give them a little token in the place where they are sitting among the multitude, that they may yet hear their name preached from the housetops, and all that does take place from day to day in the inner chambers, that they may know that thou art God, that thou knowest where they are, that thou knowest all that takes place in their soul from moment unto moment, and that that great need that is living within, that the hunger and the thirst may be satisfied, that the meek may eat, and that indeed there may be a rejoicing in this morning hour. When we can read in thy word, there was a publican, he went to his house justified. He had to smite upon his breast. He had to cry out all against himself, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, may it also be in this morning that such may experience thy greatness and thy love and thy mercy, that it is without bounds, and that it is for those who have sinned against thee. Look on us, and when we travel through this world with a hypocritical heart, Lord, thou knowest that we are prone to every evil and to every sin. But wilt thou open then our eyes, that we may not deceive ourselves for that great eternity. Look on all those that mourn. Also, when we have heard of that horrible plane crash, wherein the president of Poland was taken away in the day of yesterday, with all those who were about him, the government officials, those who do lead in the army, and all those whom thou hast placed in positions high in this world. In one moment they have come to stand before their judge. Then it was seen they are no different when we are standing in a position of authority than even the lowest in this world. Then we shall all have our place standing next to one another before that great judge of heaven and in earth. But we shall have to give an account of that place that we have sat in the judgment of this world. Oh Lord, that thou may look upon all those that mourn, and wilt thou look upon us as nations to turn us and to give us understanding hearts and to draw us to thy footstool, to thy law, to thy testimonies, Remember all those that have special needs, all the afflicted and the sick ones also hurt, that must receive surgery in the week that is to come. Give the physician skill and wisdom also in her case, that she may receive help and that she may receive healing. And wilt thou visit her also in her own soul. Lord, look on all the children also, those that have difficulties. Wilt thou supply for them in thy mercy. And wilt thou look on all the afflicted. And also where there are crosses that are known to thee. Supply thou from above. Draw us. Help us this morning. Be with us in thy house. Around about thy word, separate us from everything that can distract us in this world, and that our hearts may be drawn to love and to serve our Maker, and to need the Son of God. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 187, all stanzas. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free. In tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy hear my prayer, thy servant bless. We make the second announcement. Mr. and Mrs. Peter Suchland, who attend our Calgary branch, wish to be reinstated as members of our congregation. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before our April 13th consistory meeting. The Lord willing, the sacrament of baptism is scheduled for next Sunday, April 18, in the afternoon service. The registration at the consistory meeting of Tuesday, April 13, at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 187, stanzas 1 through 4. Now when Jesus was risen, early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Seven devils. Seven congregation, that is the number of fullness. It is the number of perfection. And thus Satan, with his seven devils, then he has taken possession. He has taken complete possession. There was not one part, as it were, of this woman, this poor woman, that had not come under the control of that prince of darkness. Seven devils, they are living in her heart. Are those devils also living in your heart? Or do you find also that you are in that same place as that woman, possessed with all the prince of darkness, so that there is not one part of your life that does not seem to go out after world and after all that is from below? And now what do we read? Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. Then every one of those devils, they have gone out. It was not three or four. It was not five or six. But all seven of those devils, they have been cast out of that woman. So that it is not half a work, but it is a complete renewal that Mary may experience. Do you understand why she is weeping? Do you understand why she is weeping at that gravesite? Why? Because there is in her heart love. And this is the way of that true church. You do not need children. You do not need to convince that people to walk after the law of the Lord. No, but that heart of gratitude that is going out after him. And thus it is the burden of the people that they are not serving the Lord with all their heart. And now Mary, therefore, as she is missing. But that people, they will not always miss him. No, we have heard it. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She saith unto him, Rabboni. That is, he reveals himself to her. He gives her to see him. He gives her that she may understand, that she may know. And that he is not dead, but that he is alive. And when he appears to her, then she has received everything so far above all that she has asked or thought, so that all her desires even, all her expectations are so put to shame because he has shown her himself not as he who is dead, but as he who is alive. And so the prayer of the people is so poor. The prayer of the people that is so limited, limited to all that their own heart can conceive, but the salvation of the Lord that is so much greater than that their own heart does know. And now the Lord makes her a messenger. Oh, did you ever want to be a messenger? Oh, sometimes the Lord also makes women messengers. Messengers of what? Messengers of his word. Go unto my brethren and tell them. Oh, may the Lord still send forth messengers. Messengers who have seen him. Messengers who have heard him. And that they may bring unto his children what? A blessed message. We have heard something of it. Go unto my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and unto my God and your God. What more blessed message could a person be given to bring in this world? And so we come to the words of our text for this morning hour in Mark 16, verses 10 and 11. Mark 16, verses 10 and 11. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. So far, the words of our text. Faith in the life of God's church. First, the objects of this faith. Second, the hindrances to this faith. And third, the helps to this faith. Faith in the life of God's church. First, the objects. Second, the hindrances. And third, the helps to this faith. And they believed not. How necessary, congregation, is faith? Do you have faith? How necessary is faith? Why is faith so necessary? We read in God's word, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And when we are not pleasing unto God, then we may be sure that we will never live with him. Why is faith so necessary? Faith is necessary for salvation, for the salvation of our soul. Was faith always necessary? It was not. In the state of our innocence, before that man had sinned, and then there was no need for faith, because then it was not of faith, but we read of the law that the man that doeth them, he shall even live in them. He shall live by them. Thus, the law is not of faith. Thus, it was not necessary for our first parents. Indeed, they received a promise, but there was an entrance into eternal life. And very soon, when they had stood that trial, then they had also received that eternal life. Will faith always be necessary? Faith will not always be necessary either, because one day, the faith of the true church is going to be exchanged. It is going to be exchanged for an eternal beholding, so that they shall not need to believe anymore those things that they are not able to see, because they shall indeed see them. They shall indeed receive them. They shall indeed enjoy them moment by moment, and then all the need for faith that shall be done away. For what is faith necessary? Faith is necessary in the new covenant. Faith is necessary in the time, because that new covenant is received by faith. We read, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. and therefore the necessity of faith. And they believed not. What a mystery, congregation, is faith. Paul says, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. What a mystery is faith. Mysterious in its source. What do we read about its source? Do you know that, young people? Where does faith come from? We read it is a gift of God. Is that mysterious? If that was not so mysterious, then it had not been the controversy of all the ages of the world within the church of God. When man does question where that faith proceeds from, does it indeed proceed from the Spirit of the Lord? Is that special grace? Is that common grace? Does that come out of the heart of man? What is now the origin? What is now the source of true saving faith? What a mysterious thing is faith, faith in its source. What a mysterious thing is faith in its exercises. What do we read? There is a man, and he has a great need. And the Lord Jesus asks him, believest thou that I am able to do this? And what does that poor father cry out? He says, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You say, does that man believe or does he not believe? Can he exercise that faith or can he not exercise that faith? What a mysterious thing is the exercise of faith, ask God's children. Then they will tell you how many questions, how many riddles over faith that there are in their soul. Do I truly have faith or do I not have faith at all? And they believed not. How much comfort there is in faith. What do we read of these to whom Mary is coming? We read that they are mourning. We read that they are weeping. And they continue to mourn and they continue to weep. Is Mary mourning? Is Mary weeping anymore? She is not. What is now the difference between Mary and these disciples? Mary now believes. Mary may now exercise that faith, and they have no ability. Oh, how much comfort then is in faith. And they believed not. Do the disciples believe nothing at all? No, they believe something. You believe something. I believe something. Do you know what you believe? Faith has objects. The disciples believe. They believe something. What do they believe? They believe Jesus is dead. And what does Mary believe? She believes Jesus is alive. Who is right, children? You say, Mary. The disciples are wrong. They believe something that is not true. But Mary believes what is true. Mary believes what is reality. What do you believe? What do I believe? Oh, how necessary that we are searching what the truth is, that we may know the reality, that we may know what is true, that we may come truly to believe that which is true. Pilate said, "What is truth?" He didn't know. Do you know the truth? And do you believe the truth? Where do we find that truth? We find that truth in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do we then search in that Word of God, that we also may come to know what is the truth? Rome says you must believe that that wine that is actually blood does not taste like blood, and that that bread that is actually flesh does not taste like flesh, but you must just believe it. Is that truth? No, it is not truth. And it is against all the senses and against everything that is rational in the mind of a man, nor is it according to the Word of God, nor is it according to reality. All that Word of God that is credible, that Word of God that ought to be believed, it ought to be the object of our faith. How may you know that, young people? Search it. Look in all the prophecies and see how that they are being fulfilled one by one. And what does the Lord say? He says, that prophet, when his word cometh to pass, then you shall know that this is a prophet whom I have sent. And so we may know of the truth of that holy word of God. And what does that holy word of God say? That word says we were created good. That word says that we fell. Do you believe that? And they believed not. Do you believe it? That word of God says that we are lost. Do you believe that? That word of God says that we are dead. That we are impotent to all spiritual good. Do you believe that? That word of God says we are accountable. That word of God says that we are going to appear, each one of us, before that judgment seat of God. Do you believe that? Unbelief that is condemned by the credibility of that word of God. And our conscience, your conscience, my conscience, that is a witness unto us. All did the disciples believe all this? Oh, yes. Did the disciples believe that they were created good, that they had fallen, that they were sinful creatures? Oh, yes. They believed all of this. And yet, we read, they believed not. Oh, what was that then? There was something. There was something else that they did not believe. And what was now that something else that they did not believe? They did not believe that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. That was now the object of their unbelief, as it were. Were the disciples believers? Were the disciples children of the Lord? Did the disciples have true faith? Oh, certainly they did. When was that planted? That was planted in the day of their new birth, and that is never lost. But there is a difference between the state of unbelief and the condition of unbelief. Thus, they are not in the state of unbelief. But what does our text speak about when it says, and they believed not? It speaks about the condition of unbelief that those disciples were in.
when the Lord Jesus was with those disciples in the midst of the sea, then he has asked them, in the midst of that storm, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. The disciples have no faith? Oh, yes, they had faith. The Lord Jesus did not mean that they had no faith altogether. What did he mean? How is it that you are not able to exercise faith? Thus we read in God's word that there is a weak faith and that there is a strong faith. We read that Abraham was strong in faith when he has left that Ur of the Chaldees, not knowing whither he went, but leaving his country and following in the direction of the Lord. What did the Lord Jesus say? If you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, then you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and it should obey you. Thus faith has its fluctuations. Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Peter, standing, walking on the water one moment, and another moment, he is sinking in fear of the waves. Thus there are hindrances. That is our second thought. Hindrances to faith. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Do you think, congregation, that those disciples, that they wanted to believe, those women? Or you can be so sure that those disciples in that moment had so wished that they could really believe those women. What was their greatest burden? What was their greatest grief? That was the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would have been their greatest joy? That would have been if they could believe those women. And yet they believed not. Thus it was not a matter of what they wanted to do or did not want to do, but it was a matter of what they could do or could not do, what they dared not to do. Lack of faith. Or when you will go from one to the other of God's true people, and you will ask them what that burden is that is lying on their heart, oh, then that lack of faith, or if they could only be given to believe, because that is so comforting to be able to believe. And that unbelief that is standing in the way of all their rest and all their peace and all their comfort. Thus it is not a matter of what they want to do or do not want to do. No, it is a matter of what they are able or not able. Oh, then they do not dare to believe it. What is now the greatest hindrance to faith? Well, in the first place, that state of spiritual death, that is the greatest hindrance to the being of faith, to the existence of faith. Why? Because we are in a state of unbelief. We are dead. Is that your burden? That you are dead in a state of unbelief, and that every admonishment that we can read in the Holy Word of God, every admonishment to believe that is met in you by the resistance of death, that is in you as it were a mockery, then you could easier draw the stars from the heavens as that you can believe. Does it remove your responsibility to believe? No, it doesn't. No, because we read of the cause of the punishment of man, and the cause of punishment will not be reprobation. No, the cause of our punishment is our sin. And we read of those that could not enter in because of unbelief. And thus it is that awful unbelief in that death state in which we are that will be the cause of our eternal punishment. And we shall never be able to cast one particle of the blame upon the Lord Himself.
And yet what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him."
Thus His power is necessary in order that we may overcome that death state. Do you ever feel it? That you say, "If only I could believe it." Oh yes, I believe it with my mind. I believe it within a historical faith. Oh, if only I could believe it as the Lord makes His children to believe it. Oh, if only I could believe it so that my heart would be moved. If only I could believe it so that there would be fruit, that there would be an effect in my life.
All does our inability to believe take away the calling to believe? No, it does not.
The calling is coming to each and every one to believe. And that is the means that the Lord is giving a man to believe. What does the Lord say in His word that to His servant? That you must preach unto those dry bones, those dead bones. They can do nothing. They cannot live. There is no life in them. And preach to them and tell them to do something that they are not able to do. Live. And when you preach to them to live, then I am going to work a miracle. And when you preach to them to live and you command them to do what they are not able to do, then I am from above going to move among those dry bones. And I am going to give flesh to those dry bones. And I am going to raise them up. And I am going to breathe my spirit into them. And they shall live. Thus, no, it takes not away our responsibility. But the Lord is commanding to believe. To believe what? To believe that I am a child of God. To believe that Jesus loves me. No, no, no. We have no right to believe that unless we have a token from the Lord that we may believe that. But what must we believe? We must believe the reality. We must believe how it truly is. We must believe the truth concerning ourselves written in that holy word of God. And what is that truth? That we are dead. We must believe that. And we ought to believe that. Or we must believe that we need a mediator. That we need a savior. Oh, that we have fallen away from God. That we are impotent, that we have no power in ourselves, that we ought to serve Him, and that our heart that is corrupt, that we are full of sin, that we are walking on a broad road to destruction, and that when there is never power from above, and that we shall bring ourselves into that eternal pit. Oh, then we may say over and over, oh, believe it, because if we never believe it in our life, then we shall go lost because of our unbelief.
But our text, when we read here, "and they believe not," that is not now speaking about that state of death and that state of unbelief, but it is speaking about the condition of unbelief.
These are the disciples of the Lord. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And what is now the greatest hindrance to the exercise of faith? In those in whom faith has been planted by the Lord, what is now the greatest hindrance to that people exercising that faith? That is, that the matter is too great for them to believe. That the matter is too great for them to believe. How was it now for these disciples? For the disciples' congregation, it was too much. He is alive. That is a faith. You require a faith from us, Mary, that must overcome death. You require a faith that must overcome the grave. Is that not too much for the people to believe? Is it not too high for the people to believe? Is it not too great for the people to believe? Can we understand why those disciples, and that they look at Mary, and that they think that Mary is saying to them idle tales? And that was not only when Mary as a woman is coming, but we read that Mark, he is saying this over and over again. And after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. Thus, the difficulty of the faith in the life of God's children, that is the exercise of that faith. What is that difficulty that is the greatness of the matter? With what does it concern itself? It concerns itself with the salvation of my soul. The greatness of the matter. What is that message that is being brought by the Lord through his servants? That is the message of the gospel. Is that not a message that is too great for that people to believe? Is that not a message that requires a faith that will overcome death? Is that really possible? Is that really possible also for me? Then I can understand that that is given unto my neighbor, but I cannot understand that that is given unto myself. Why? Because that is a matter that is of great contrast. That is a matter that is contrasting death and life. That is a matter that is contrasting sin and salvation. That is a matter that is contrasting the truth and the lie. Oh, how can I believe it? Is it not a people who need to be given that faith because that they, in order that they may see that where sin abounds, that grace that does much more abound? And they believe not. Why is it, people of the Lord, that you cannot believe? Is that not because it is so free? Is it not because that matter is so great over against all that you experience in your own soul? Is it not because the matter is so far above your own expectations? Oh, have you not resigned yourselves already that you have to forsake your former hopes because of that sin that is remaining in your life? Oh, is it not because you are afraid of that self-deceit? Oh, then you are looking about you and you see those, they have made a testimony, they have spoken of great things, they have spoken and confessed the name of Jesus, and now, now they are gone this way and that way into the world. Oh, does not that temporary faith in all its superficiality, does that not stand by moments as a hindrance for you also to believe? And have you not indeed deceived yourself that you have hoped and that you have spoken of those matters for your own soul, and now everything that is lying in the grave? Oh, could Jacob believed it when his brothers, when his sons came to him, they said, Joseph is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Why could Jacob not believe it? And they believed not. Oh, his heart that fainted within him. Why? Because the matter that was so far above his expectation, here is now what stands in the way. Here is now what stands as an hindrance in the life of God's people. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believe not. How impossible, congregation, is faith. Truly, faith is a gift of God, and a man cannot get his fellow to believe. He cannot get his fellow to believe when he is in the state of unbelief. Oh, could we only make you to believe? Pilgrim, he says it to his wife, he says it to his children, he says it to his neighbors. Oh, this city is going to be destroyed. And he could not make them to believe it. Oh, could we make you only to believe it? And when you are lying in that state of unbelief, all that word of God is credible. But then there is no man that is able to penetrate into that dead heart. That is why, boys and girls, we hope you have asked the Lord before you came here this morning, that he would come this morning and that he would give you to believe. Oh, how impossible it was for Lot when he went to his sons-in-law and he says, up, because the Lord is going to destroy this city and he cannot make them to believe it. No, how helpless does man stand when it comes to faith. And that is not only the existence and the being of faith, but that is also the exercise of faith. How helpless was Mary? How helpless was Mary when she stood and she had that blessed and most wonderful message for these disciples? And that is now the experience of that church of God, or when the Lord reveals himself. And when the Lord opens their eyes and they may see something of the blessedness of that Son of God, all, then they want to become messengers. And they will go from this one to that one among the children of the Lord. And they will go to those who are mourning and who are weeping. And then they want to tell them something. They want to tell them of the greatness of his love. And they want to tell them of the greatness of his mercy, of his grace. They want to say, oh, my friend, it is a grace that is as wide as the ocean, that they would no more mourn and that they would no more weep. But that faith, oh, that is a gift of God. That is why the disciples, they said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And so the Lord will do. But let us sing 233. 1, 2, and 3.
Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed, O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1, 2, and 3 of 233. Two times in succession, we hear of the unbelief of the disciples of the Lord. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. And then what do we read? Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Thus our last thought, the helps to faith in the life of God's people. And there is within the external church of God There is a people who go about upbraiding God's children. Upbraiding God's children for what? For their unbelief. They are standing so high, congregation, looking down upon the true children of the Lord. And there is nothing sufficient for the people except that you have come to the very highest steps of grace. And when you have not experienced those highest steps of grace, and that you are not able to call God your Father, and when you are not able to embrace the Son in his mediatorial labors, then it is not good enough. And there is a people who are, as it were, beating those little lambs and those little sheep over the head with a rod, and then thinking to do as the Lord Jesus is doing here, who is upbraiding with their unbelief and their hardness of heart. But it is not the same. It is far from the same. It is a different purpose. It is a different way. And it has different fruit. Indeed, to the unbelieving Jews, then we can read that the Lord Jesus, he is pronouncing woe for their unbelief. Because he said, if the mighty works have been done in you, which have been done in Tyre and Sidon, then they would have repented long ago. Thus he pronounces to those who are in that rebellious state of unbelief, woe. But he does not do so to his people. No, here we read he upbraids them with their unbelief and their hardness of heart. Where does that come out of? That comes out of love. That is done not for their condemnation, that is done for their welfare, that is done for their great comfort, that is to help them, that is to help them to come over all their difficulties, that is to increase, that is to strengthen the faith of his children. That is his way. Then he gave many helps. He knew all the difficulties of his children. To do what? To believe. What did he do? Boys and girls, you could not see that he was the Son of God. You could not see that he was the King. He did not wear a crown. He did not have a halo. No. What did he do? To help the people to believe, he did miracles. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He gave deaf. To those, he gave hearing to those that could not hear. And he showed that he was the Son of God to help them that they might believe. What does he give to his church? He gives them the sacraments. He gives them baptism. He gives them the Holy Supper. We read the Lord Jesus to help his people to believe. That he told them beforehand of all those things that were going to happen to him, that, he says, when it is come to pass, ye might believe. And now he gives them another help. And what does he do? He gives them an admonishment. He upbraids them. He would, as it were, to shake them out of that unbelief, that dullness, to overcome the mountain of impossibility. How do we know that is his purpose? Well, because he appears to them, and he eats something in front of them, and he drinks something in front of them, and he shows them his hands and his side. And he invites them to touch him. And he uses all the logical arguments for the reasoning of man. He says,
a spirit. He has not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Why? Why all these things? Because one thing. Because the matter was much too great for the people to believe. That is why he did it. That is why he upbraids them. And they believed not. O congregation, is that now also so of you? Must that be said of you? That you do not believe? What is it that you do not believe? Does the fruit of your life show that you do not believe that you're going to die? Does the fruit of your life show that you do not believe that soon you are going to stand in the judgment seat of God? That you go over this world walking out and living out the lust of your own heart, following after all the entertainments and all the enjoyments of this world because you do not believe the holy word of God that we are traveling to eternity? Or if it so remains that we live on in our unbelief, then we may be sure that we will not enter in because of that unbelief. Oh, ask the Lord then to open your eyes. Ask the Lord to give you true faith that you might believe it and that he may take away the rest that is in our life, the peace that is in our life in the great danger that we are in. And they believe not. Or maybe you do not believe that faith is such a difficult thing. Maybe you believe that faith is something that you need to exercise from your own side. Then read in the Holy Word of God. Read in the Psalms. And ask yourself if you are not then a stranger to the experience of God's true people. But is there now people that are not able to believe because of the greatness of the matter? Do you know what that Shunammite said? When God's servant came to her and he said, the Lord is going to give to you life. He's going to give to you life, a little boy, a son. Do you know what she said? Didn't believe it. She said, nay, my Lord. Do not deceive me. Do not deceive me. Why did she say this? The matter of congregation was much, much too great for her. Is that also so with you? Can you not believe because it goes so different than your expectations? Can you not believe because it decreases instead of increases? Can you not believe because it gets worse instead of better? Can you not believe because of the mountain of your guilt? Can you not believe because that you see something of the unchangeable justice of God that is not able to be taken out of the way? Can you not believe because day by day you have to experience the corruption, the remaining infirmities, and you feel something of that holiness, of the great majesty that is on high? That you say, how can I believe it? And do I have a right to believe it? Is it not then for others? Is it not those who are holier than I am?
Oh, how often does that holy word of God upbraid you for your unbelief?
Is not this what the Lord is expressing over and over again in His own word? That the Lord says that He sits and that He eats with publicans and with sinners? Does He not declare that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound? Were there not 7 devils that were cast out of Mary Magdalene? Oh, did He not give His life even unto death? Do we not read that He died for whom? For the ungodly. Does He not declare His love when He says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Does He not say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow? Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, why can you not believe it? Are your thoughts of God not too small? The thoughts of His power, the thoughts of His might, the thoughts of His willingness? Have you not too small thoughts of His mercy and too small thoughts of His grace? Does He not rightly make you ashamed because of your unbelief? Thomas said, except I put my finger into the print of the nails, I will not believe. The Lord Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Then He speaks about the physical seeing. The Lord Jesus was going to go away. And if all men had physically to see the Lord Jesus, how should the world be saved? But faith has its own sight. And the Lord Jesus, He speaks of that when He speaks to Peter, that He says, flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but to my Father, but my Father which is in heaven. That is now that sight that the Lord is giving unto His people. And it is that sight that is taking away all their unbelief and all their mourning and all their weeping, in order that they may believe and that the name of the Lord may be magnified. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are unbelievers and they believe not. But faith that is a gift of God, also for thy own children, remember each and every one of us, that we also may not go lost, and in that last day not be able to enter in because of unbelief. O grant us true faith, forgive all that is sinful, and be with us in the remainder of this day. Help thy servant who hopes to preach here in this place in this afternoon hour, that thou may give him strength in thy spirit, and that there may be fruit also in the midst of this our flock, and that thou may help us in our place further also in this day,
Keep us from all accident, danger, evil, and sin. And wilt thou bless thy word this thy day? We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. 255, 3 and 4. To the Lord, such might revealing, let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at His feet. 3 and 4 of 255. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.